deeper in the Word of God. To save man, the
this is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From a familiar passage of Scripture, I want to lift just one verse to begin our message this morning, found in Psalms number 34 and 1. Psalms number 34 and 1. And the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word, to the hearers and the doers of his divine will. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I'm not too proud to praise. I'm not too proud to praise. I need you to hear what King David is saying. I think it would be helpful in our personal worship. I think it would be helpful in our public worship. I think it would be great as witnesses of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think it will benefit us when we thank God for his goodness, but then when things don't go our way, I think it is encouraging to us to know that God is worthy of our praise at all times. One of the first things I want you to notice about the text is that David is dealing with his personal attitude or his personal volition, his own will. His praise is not predicated on what other people think. His praise is not attuned to the atmospheric conditions. His praise is not yielded because others think he ought to lift his hands, open up his mouth, or clap, or stomp his feet. His praise is from an inward reality and a connectivity with the Creator of all things. David says, I will bless the Lord. At when? At all times. First of all, he's saying this with a conviction and a commitment. The conviction comes first because, my brothers and sisters, one of the things you're going to have to note in life is that life doesn't always go your way. Every day is not always sunny, and things are not always happy, and you're not, contrary to what some folk think, you're not always on top, and you're not always the winner. Sometimes you're going to be down and out. Sometimes you're going to be sick and tired. Sometimes the enemy is going to appear to be winning. Sometimes you're going to find that you, as a child of God, do get depressed and oppressed by the enemy, but you got to shake it off and remember to whom you belong. That there are times when things just don't go right. There are times people that you trusted proved that they weren't trustworthy. That you'll find out there are times you had folk to tell you, listen, if you need somebody to talk to, you can count on me. I won't tell anybody. And for it's all over, you'll heard everything you shared from the deepest secrets of your heart. It's important to realize David has gone through some stuff. Somebody say, gone through some stuff. Now, when you've gone through some stuff, you'll learn how to get your attitude right. You'll learn how to put your focus on the right person and take your problems to the one who can really do something about them. And David says from conviction, I will bless the Lord. Listen, not just when things are good. He wasn't a wishy-washy worshiper like so many of us are. He wasn't a praiseful, thankful person when God answered his prayers and things were going his way like some of us are. He didn't show up in the house of the Lord when he was winning and all was well with him only. But he declares, I will bless the Lord at all times. When I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm right, when I'm wrong, when it's good, when it's bad, when it's hot and it's cold. All times, in every condition and situation of my life. It takes a conviction. Because I see some of you on Sunday mornings, you won't even speak to God, let alone praise him. Then you roll your eyes at others who are praising them around you. Like, you better keep that praise to yourself. I wish you would hit my hat. I wish you would stomp my feet. Grunting, rolling their eyes, looking like something stank, nothing but their attitude does. But they're on the Lord's side. Lord don't need folk like that on his side. You do more for the enemy's side than you do for God. Folk come here hurting, looking for help, looking for inspiration. You sitting up there like a sourpuss. No joy in your heart. No light in your eyes. No pep in your step. No love in your heart. For God nor man. And you want folk to think God's been good to you? Oh, he has been, because the word says he blesses the just and the unjust. So he has been good, but it wouldn't be told if they had to look at your face. At all times, he's convicted that God should be blessed. What this says to the believer is, listen, there are no special times to praise God. Any time is a good time. Any time and every time is a good time to praise the Lord. Now listen, now, here's the commitment now. He has the conviction. Listen, he says his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to praise him. Bless him means to speak well of him, to say good things about him, to talk him up. To praise him is to give thanks and glory for those things that he's done and his worthwhileness. It's important to understand that God loves the praise of his people. He inhabits, he gets inside of your praise when you know how to praise him right. Don't sit here and act like you don't like praise. Because the moment somebody don't acknowledge you and recognize you and pat you on your back and tell you you did good and don't do all that to you, you get your little feelings hurt. And if it's somebody even in your own household, if they don't praise you quick enough, how did I do? But did I do all right? You're seeking your praise. God loves the praise of the people he has blessed. See, those are the people who have a right and a privilege to praise God. But listen at this. David's commitment was to praise him all the time. So there is conviction and commitment in verse 1. But verse 2 deals with something else. It deals with communion and communication. I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper communion. I'm talking about communing. I'm talking about intimate fellowship with him. I'm talking about one-on-one with him. I'm talking about making time for him. I'm talking about setting aside the time to enter into his presence with him. I'm talking about making him feel worthy in your life that you have assigned time to spend with God because he's that worthy to you. He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, David is not talking about the things he has accomplished. He's not talking about the things he has acquired. He's not talking about the things that he has done or the things he's doing. He's not making his boast in his strength or his might or his intellect. He's not making his boast in his conquest. He's not making his boast in anything that has to do with him and what he's able to do or accomplish. His soul makes her boast, listen at this, in the Lord. In other words, the greatest thing that he finds joy in, the greatest thing that he has pride in, the thing that he has lifted up above all other things in his life is that he belongs to the Lord. That the Lord is a part of his life. That he is who he is because of God. My brothers and sisters, when your soul makes her boast in the Lord, can I tell you there's nothing else that can compare with that? That's how God likes to be put up on the top shelf, where nothing else can compare with him. His soul makes her boast in the Lord. Not in his wife, not in his children, not in his family, not in his kingdom, not in anything here on earth, but in the Lord. And his soul, listen, communes with God. You see, one of the ways you get to feel like God, feel like that about God, is when you spend time with him. I know this is going to blow you away, but I got to tell you. The only way you get to really know God is to spend time with him. Some of you been with him on the journey for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and you don't know him. You don't know his spirit. You don't know his word. You don't know his will. You don't know his way. You don't know how to access him. You don't know how to go in. You don't know how to come out. I know it's getting quiet because I'm talking to you. And because you don't know him, you don't know how to be intimate with him. You don't know what he likes. You don't really know what he does not like other than the Ten Commandments. You don't know what he likes from you because you hadn't spent enough time with him to know that. If you spend enough time with him, he'll tell you. You don't know when he show up. Lord, are you here? Spend enough time with him and you'll know the moment you're in his presence and you'll know the moment you're out of his presence. You will sense the very essence of God when you get to know him. You'll be able to tell when you've grieved him in the spirit. And you'll be able to feel the unctioning of the spirit. You'll be able to know the difference between imagination and revelation. When you spend time with God, he is able to unfold mysteries and show you things you've never seen, heard, or known before. When you commune with him, now listen to this, when you commune with him, when you love the Lord and spend that time with him, listen to what happens. The rest of the verse says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Why shall the humble hear thereof and be glad? I'm glad you asked. Because the soul said, I wasn't going to tell nobody. But I, thank you, Reverend Foster, help me here. Couldn't keep it to myself. When you make your boast in the Lord, what starts on the inside shows up on the outside. You start off praising him inwardly, in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts. But before you know it, it starts coming out your mouth. And before you know it, what you were saying in private comes out so loud that it winds up entering into the public. And the praise you said you wasn't going to tell anybody about, God has you speaking it so freely till it flows, and you're not too proud to praise him. Why is it that the people he blessed the most want to sit on his praise? Act like they got what they got on their own. Act like they are who they are on their own. Act like every door opened up, they opened it up. Every way made, they made it. They act like God didn't do anything to help them to ascend to their lofty places. And with all God's done for them, they sit up like they're in judgment on God. But look at what the king said. Look at what the psalmist says. The humble. I don't want to rush past that because it's important to know who he's talking about. The humble are those who are less fortunate than those who are prospered and blessed. The humble is referenced here as the lowly and the common. It's referenced to those who are infirmed and hurt. The humble references those who are lacking what abundance others have. The humble are those who are in a low estate. And so the humble shall hear thereof, and the Bible says they're going to be glad. Because here's what the humble says. If he'll do it for you, he'll do it for me. And if you, the king, are not too proud to praise, then I ought not have a problem. You see, to the those who were blessed and those who were of the realm of the intelligentsia, they had a certain stiffness about them, a poise about them. Their movement was limited and deliberate. Their words were carefully chosen. And what they spoke, they thought well about how it would be received. And so as a result, every thought was calculated and counted as worthy of one who was intelligent to articulate their concerns and their praises to God. And so when they got through with all of that rigmarole, whatever praise God was gonna get, it got lost in the translation. But the humble, the poor, those who were disenfranchised, those who were at the bottom of the rung, those who were grateful and thankful for what the Lord had done, couldn't hold their peace and shout, yes! Ah, he's good to me. I don't know how you feel about it, but he woke me up this morning. He started me on my, I woke up this morning with my mind. Oh, I said I wasn't going to miss. Wow, he's good to me. Y'all excuse me. I got an itch, I can't. Care nothing what nobody think about them. They, listen, know who blessed them. They're what's called the noisy bunch. That's why the Lord liked them. Don't fool yourself. That's why he said, make a joyful noise. Make a loud noise. God liked that kind of can on. Excuse me. Not too proud to praise. And so then verse 3 says that he wants to connect those who have similar experiences together, whether you're up or down, whether you're rich or poor, whether you are known or unknown, educated or ignorant. If you know the Lord and love the Lord, I want you to join me in lifting him up. Oh, he says, oh, for emphasis purposes. He's very emphatic. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. The very word magnify is as it suggests. It means to enlarge upon something with a deliberate focus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Here's the thought here. I know he's been good to me.
I know where God has brought me from. I know how he's picked my feet up out of the miry clay and put it on higher ground. I know how he took care of my enemies. I know the doors God's opened for me and the way he's made. I know the crooked places he's made straight. I know what he's done for me, but listen, I can only speak for me. So what he does is he invites them who are victors. In other words, if they have a testimony, if they've got a story, if they are a witness to help him lift the Lord up higher. In other words, the more people who talk of his goodness, speak of his goodness, praise him and lift him up, it magnifies the name of the Lord. Which means more men hear him, more men see him, more men feel him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And look at what he says to them. And let us, this is an invitation from the king, exalt his name together. Why? Because I ain't the only one he's been good to. I wish I had a witness up in this church. I said, I ain't the only one he's been good to. All the ones he's been good to ought to say something. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You got a say in the matter. Has he blessed you? Has he kept you? Has he raised you?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast. James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's.
God bless you and greetings, and at all powerful blessing and healing name of Jesus Christ. Well, this is your friend, and your apostle of prayer. Apostle